Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.
Well, with the European elections just under 6 weeks away, what should you be looking for in the MEP candidates that will be canvassing for your vote? Ben Butters is the CEO of Eurochambre, and he joins us now to share his thoughts. Ben, good morning. It's been a few years since you and I met in the European Parliament in Brussels.
Yeah, a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then. A lot of important topics have emerged for the business community, and a number of big challenges, not least the impact of the war in Ukraine and general geopolitical instability, and of course the knock-on effect of the pandemic on the business community. So it's been keeping us busy.
For the benefit of our listeners that aren't familiar with the work of Eurochambre, provide us with an insight into the organisation.
So Eurochambres is the, or Eurochambre, to use the correct pronunciation as you did, is the European umbrella organisation for chambers of commerce and industry across Europe. We have members in over 40 different countries covering the European Union and many of its neighbouring countries in the Western Balkans, in Turkey, in Ukraine as another example of a non-EU member of Eurochambres. And of course our Irish member is Chambers Ireland, and they're a very active member of our association. And our job is to represent the interests of the Chambers of Commerce at European level while the EU policymakers are discussing issues that affect the chamber business community.
I was keen to speak to you this morning in advance of the European elections, of course, that are coming up in June. In that respect, I'd like to talk to you firstly about how Eurochambre interact with MEPs in relation to business-related issues.
Well, members of the European Parliament are crucial partners in the process for us. Every new piece of legislation, every new policy that affects businesses that comes out of the EU system has to pass one way or another through the European Parliament. And the members of the European Parliament are the only elected representatives who are involved in that complex process. So they're really valuable interlocutors for the business community, because we at Eurochambres level, combined with Chambers Ireland at national level, and of course with the local chambers across Ireland and other countries, can talk to them, engage with them, explain what our concerns may be, what our expectations may be in relation to every new piece of law or policy, and try to influence that process and convince them that they need to take an approach that takes into account those perspectives from business community. So the MEPs are really important partners for us in this complex process.
And how accessible are MEPs on the ground to yourself in Eurochambre? And is a lot of your dialogue done through submissions or by sitting down face-to-face for meetings?
Well, we do a bit of both. When it comes to the start of the process, it's the European Commission, which is like the civil service of the European institutions. They're the ones who write new pieces of legislation, and we indeed reply to formal consultations. We try to provide input while they're still thinking about what should be contained in the new proposal, and then later on in the process it gets more to face-to-face meetings, and usually that's the best way to engage with a member of the European Parliament, to go and meet them, whether in their constituency or here in Brussels, and talk it through and focus in on the aspects of a proposal that we're either worried about or positive about, to try and convince them to go forward in a manner that will help businesses.
And Ben, how does Eurochambre develop and reach a policy position?
We engage with our members. We inform them when a new piece of policy is in the pipeline. We try to get involved as early as possible. And once we've spoken to our members and said, look, this new piece of law is being prepared, please give us your input on certain specific aspects of the new proposal, we would keep them updated on developments, whether positive or negative, and try to gauge their views. Sometimes it's a challenge to get to consolidate different positions across our network, which covers over 40 countries and brings together millions and millions of businesses, so they don't always see eye to eye, but usually we manage to do so, and it's important that we keep that dialogue going with our members throughout the legislative process until it's adopted, and then it goes to the national governments to actually implement it in the member states.
And from your consultation with members across those 40 plus countries, what are the key policy areas that European businesses are most interested and indeed concerned about right now?
The key ones at the moment are the green transition, how we do that in a manner that supports competitiveness and that doesn't create too many obstacles for European businesses. There's been a lot of concern from our members. The Commission is moving too quickly and much quicker than its international competitors by setting rightly ambitious targets, but backing them up with quite strict regulations, which sometimes impose requirements on European businesses, which their competitors in other countries don't have to deal with. Another key issue is the single market. There's been a lot of talk in recent months about how to strengthen the single market, how to deal with the many remaining barriers to doing trade within the EU that businesses still encounter. There are many others, but just to give you one other, it's the trade agenda as well. And because the EU is responsible for negotiating trade deals with other countries around the world, it's not something that member states of the EU are able to do anymore. So it's really important that we work closely with those trade negotiators to make sure that they're aware of what businesses want or don't want from individual trade deals.
And in terms of grassroots participation, how can businesses underground here in Ireland influence the decision making within the European Parliament?
Well, I think Chambers of Commerce are a really important way of doing so. We work, as I mentioned, very closely with our members, the national chambers, and they in turn keep the local chambers informed about key policy initiatives. So by engaging with the chamber and taking part in discussions or meetings on EU policy matters, they can keep abreast of what's going on and potentially contribute to specific discussions, whether it's about trade or the single market or climate change or skills or other areas that are relevant to them. There are possibilities to change. And another way for an Irish entrepreneur to get involved would be to do what you did and come to Brussels and take part in our European Parliament of Enterprises, which we organise every 2 years in the hemicycle of the European Parliament. That's a great way of getting a feel for how things work here and gauging what it's really like to be a member of the European Parliament, to vote in the hemicycle on questions posed to the whole plenary and to understand the interaction with the other institutions.
And I have to say, my own experience of the European Parliament of Enterprise was fascinating to see how the organs of the European Union actually operate. So from that, you mentioned earlier about the importance of trade agreements. The Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement between EU and Canada has been quite contentious. CETA, as it's known, despite being approved by the European Parliament back in early 2017, it has not been yet ratified by all member states.
Well, like many free trade agreements, there are pros and cons. From an economic perspective, from a business perspective, we consider it to be highly positive. And Canada being such a like-minded economy, respecting many of the principles that we embrace in Europe about free markets, about the proper legal systems and other principles around democracy and economic freedom. We think it's very important that we have an open and free trade relationship with Canada on a very general level. But of course, under the surface, there are issues that affect some sectors of society and sectors of the economy more than others. There are some who question the potential risks for the environment and for health from certain aspects of the CETA arrangement. The farmers, the agricultural sector, believe it won't do them any favours in Europe. So massive imports of meat, for example, that would come from the deal. So there are doubters for sure out there. But overall, from a Chamber's perspective, we consider it an extremely positive agreement for the European economy.
And given the current political landscape across Europe, how important are the upcoming European elections and what impact could the results of these elections have on EU policy priorities over the next 5 years?
Well, the European Parliament elections are really pivotal in the policy cycle here in Brussels. So they take place every 5 years, and based on the outcome of the elections, the composition of the European Parliament will be defined. We will know which groups have the largest number of seats, whether that's the centre-right group, the centre-left group, the Liberals, the Greens. There are many different groups which are formed by national delegations joining together at European level. And the members of the European Parliament will then have important positions such as chairing committees. And those committees will be taking very significant decisions on legislative proposals that come out of the Commission from later on this year. onwards. So in that respect, they're extremely important. And also before that, the European Parliament plays a very important role in actually appointing the next European Commission. Every one of the 27 commissioners has to be approved by the European Parliament. They approve them en masse as a college of commissioners. And sometimes they turn them away. They say that this commissioner from a certain country is not suitable for the proposed dossier, so we want another candidate. So they have a lot of clout in that process.
And Ben, as the head of a large business organisation that pans right across Europe and somebody that's based in Brussels, in the European Parliament daily and engaging, of course, with MEPs on an ongoing basis, I felt there was no one better this morning to speak to than yourself in terms of providing advice to our listeners in terms of being able to make an informed decision about who they could go and vote for as their MEPs for the next term in Europe. What advice have you got for them in that respect?
Do some homework, I guess, would be my main recommendation. Sometimes we have the impression that people go to vote in the European elections based on their typical voting patterns when it would come to a local or a national election. But I would really encourage citizens to have a think about the European perspective, to read the different parties' manifestos for the European elections, and they might see that there are different factors to take into account when it comes to the European elections and the implications of the outcome of those elections. So try to find a bit of time to do some background reading. Think of it from that European perspective. Think about how the EU affects your life, your business, if you're an entrepreneur. Ask your chamber if you're an entrepreneur as well, because I know that Chambers Ireland has produced its own manifesto for the elections and was over in Brussels earlier this year to meet several of the sitting members of the European Parliament to talk it through. So they're very well informed about the process and the different dossiers that are going to be dealt with over the coming years.
And ultimately, I suppose, we're looking for people that will go to Europe and represent and promote entrepreneurship over the coming years.
Absolutely. Yeah, we would love to have members of the European Parliament who have an entrepreneurial background. And there are not enough policymakers out here in Brussels who've spent time running a business or working in business, particularly smaller businesses. So that would really be beneficial. It would help them spread the word within the European Parliament about the needs of smaller businesses, the reality of running a small company in 2024 and beyond, which I sometimes feel policymakers don't really take into account when they're sitting in dark rooms in the middle of the night trying to strike a deal at the last moment. So it's really important that we have that entrepreneurial perspective in the European Parliament. So we would very much welcome having more people with that background for the next 5 years.
And finally, Ben, from a Eurochambre point of view, what areas will you be urging the new MEPs to look at once the new term starts?
Well, we, in very general terms, feel that we need a much more ambitious competitiveness agenda. We have the sense that over the last 5 years, we've been constantly firefighting at European level. Understandably, we've had a terrible pandemic. And we have a war on our doorstep in Ukraine. We have a lot of geopolitical turbulence around the world. We've had the energy crisis. There's been so many challenges over the last few years. But because of that, we feel that the focus has been on survival. And we need to switch from survival to ensuring success for our business community.
Well, if you've just tuned in, that was Ben Butters, CEO of Eurochambre. And I'd like to thank Ben for his insights into how businesses are represented in Europe.
Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.